Hey there, this is Liam with New Tech People's Community Spotlight. This app, we've got Lockie from Yano, which is a really cool e-learning platform. Lockie's just made a pretty big jump. He's moved from Sydney to Newey and has really sort of pulled up stumps. So we touch on that. We touch on the differences between the two tech communities. We touch on running a tech business in the middle of COVID and in the middle of moving that sort of distance and a bunch of other things. Really good app. Hope you enjoy it. Mate, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So I guess, look, simple start. Who are you? What do you do? Give us, I guess, the elevator pitch on you as a person.
All right, the pressure.
Yeah, mate.
My name's Lockie Gray. I'm the MD and co-founder of an online learning platform called Yano.
Yep.
That's on the professional side. The personal side, I'm a husband and father to two young kids.
Awesome. Awesome. Tell us a bit about Yano. What's the story? You know, age of company, company size, what's happening?
Yeah. So we're an online learning platform. So we help large regulated businesses quickly upskill staff who work remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is we take their existing training material. So whether that's PowerPoint or e-learning modules or PDFs, and we collaborate. Yes, PDFs. We collaborate with our customers to try and extract out the key concepts or takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
And then we distill them down. We put them into a question answer explanation form. So a really light sort of bite sized. And then we spread it out over time. So say 3 or 4 weeks, couple minutes each day. And the ultimate goal is to really improve the embedding and retention of knowledge and understanding. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of training that we do is large blocks, 1, 2, 3 day sessions.
Yes.
Your brain gets crammed full of information. And then, you know, the way our brain works is we forget most of it. So what we're trying to do is say, well, what are the key takeaways from that? Let's extract them out and then spread it out over time to hopefully, improve retention. So we've been going for 4.5 years. My business partner and co-founder Mark and I are best mates at uni, worked in digital agencies, and then came up with this idea of kind of changing, I guess, how learning is presented. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster journey since then.
I can imagine. Okay, so essentially, I guess when it boils down to it, you're trying to make the e-learning experience a bit more palatable and a bit more enjoyable for the end user. So I remember even from my days at, you know, Maccas and that sort of thing as a kid, it was very, you know, it was based off some sort of monolithic LMS. It was first day, your entire day, 8 hours of sitting in front of the back room computer, just pumping out Adobe Flash modules that are just like outdated and dirty. So the intention is essentially to move away from that model and make it a bit friendlier.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've got two young kids. If I look at how they learn, they both learn to ride bikes.
Mm.
It's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot, thousands of repetitions.
Yep.
And there's a lot of fun as well. It's play-based. For some reason, as we grow up, we go through school and uni, it becomes quite, you know, constrained and strict how we learn. And we kind of lose that play-based element. We lose those repetitions over time. And it feels like, well, I've shown you this once, now go and do it.
Mm.
And like, I can't learn that way. So yeah, we're really trying to change, I guess, how learning is presented. And also we're really trying to tie it to business outcomes. I think often training and learning can be seen as this separate thing. Often, especially if it's in a compliance environment, that you need to tick this box and you need to do it, everyone needs to do it at the same time. But often there's not that connection to what's the business outcome that we're changing off the back of this. So we actually try and start there. What is the business already measuring? What are they trying? What needle are they trying to move? So for retail, it might be, you know, increased sales, increased NPS, customer satisfaction, NPS, exactly. Retail's awesome because they measure everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like Macca's. Yeah,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Everything. So that we love working with retail, transport and logistics. So we work with truck drivers. So safety is a big focus for them. So, you know, knowing and sticking to the right process, knowing to speak up if they can see the process isn't being followed, like what's the correct path to do that. So really trying to move the needle. And then thinking backwards from there, what's the best way? What's the best learning to help move the needle on those business outcomes? So that's how we try and approach it and keep it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why shouldn't it be fun? Just because they're adults, it doesn't mean that learning shouldn't be fun.
Mm. And I guess to that point, I'm assuming there's like a pretty strong gamification element as part of that learning. Exactly. What does that look like?
Yeah, exactly. So the way that we do it is we run what we call campaigns, which is, I guess, sort of term borrowed from marketing. And we put, so if campaign might have, I don't know, 30 questions, say, and the delivery of those questions are randomized. But every time you answer a question, you get to see, how everybody else has answered.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see a leaderboard, and there are different choices around that because, some especially sales-oriented teams are very competitive. I want the leaderboard. Where am I on the leaderboard? Whereas, we're working with a mental health organization, the leaderboard isn't as applicable for them. So there are options around that. And then we have scores and badges and things like that. So it's something that we put a lot of effort into because it is very powerful, but we also don't want it to be a demotivator in that where our focus is learning, it's not a test. So we don't want to demotivate anybody because they didn't do as well as a colleague, for example. It's a very fine line. So it's something that we think about a lot.
Absolutely. And as far as, I guess, the recent history, any big wins, any sort of things happening at the moment that you want to share that the business is doing?
Yeah, well, I guess, being here after COVID from March, I mean, in March, we just didn't know what was going to happen. We were impacted like everybody else, and it was mainly the uncertainty in terms of what will our customers do. The biggest thing I was concerned about is customers not paying us. We would get no warning, money wouldn't be in the account. I was like, oh, well, I would have to make decisions off the back of that. That's what I was worried about.
Mm.
Fortunately, that didn't happen. And we really tried to switch our language from surviving to thriving. The first couple of months, it was very much, bunkered down, and it was that landscape, right? Like it was full on.
Everyone was very much, this is a matter of survival.
Yeah.
We could be 12, 24 months with 20% of the revenue that we're used to.
Yeah.
Let's get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hectic.
And then you add on the personal layer of just being bombarded with media and infections increasing and people with family, they can't see anymore or overseas. So that was a really, really full on period, obviously for us all. So to try to change the mindset from, okay, this is happening, but how can we adapt to it? And how can we ultimately be anti-fragile? So like really take a leaf out of Nassim Taleb's book and like, rather than just being resilient and surviving, how can we actually grow during this period? And I think as a team, that really kind of brought us together. So during COVID, we started talking about what does Yano 2024 look like? Mm. What does our 3-year vision look like? We're a remote learning tool at a time when a lot of businesses have been forced to go remote. So in many regards, we're really well placed to help. So that's been really exciting, and it's sort of galvanized us, I think, to have this positive aspirational goal to focus on. So talked about making our goal 100,000 learners by 2024, which is about 5 times where we are now. So it's pretty aspirational. And that's really exciting because now we're going to make some strategic hires off the back of that to get that going.
Yep.
So looking for a marketing manager for the first time, a product manager, customer success support person. So that's really exciting because at the start, we were all about conserving working capital because we just didn't know what was going to happen. Like we're bootstrapped. So we live and die by our customers staying with us.
Yep.
And now we've kind of moved on from that. We've won a couple of contracts recently, which is really exciting. Our largest customer is back, Super Retail Group, who own Supercheap Auto, Rebel, BCF,
huge.
Macpac.
Yeah. Huge.
So that's really exciting. We love working with them. And it's given us a real shot in the arm. And I think that positivity is something that I'm really proud of because I can see it reflected in the team, and then they go home and they're positive with their family members who might not be so fortunate in their working situations, in their personal lives. And I think that feels really good.
Excellent. Well, I guess what's the saying? Crisis breeds opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, the platform, like you said, it's focusing on remote workers. Mate, I'd say there's a very strong market opportunity for you. Absolutely. Look, changing tack in almost a 180 degree direction. Yeah. So I guess at a personal level, you've moved to Nui after, you know, however many years of being in Sydney. You've moved during a worldwide pandemic. You've moved during an era of massive economic uncertainty. Are you okay? Are you all good?
Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that question is really important, actually. Mm. It's one that we talk about a lot in the team. Are you okay checking in on each other?
Mm.
It's actually one of the biggest challenges I've found from remote work is trying to see how is the team based on Slack, what they write in Slack, how they appear on Zoom or a phone call. And it was really hard for me. And I kind of went the extreme and booked in too many meetings and we got Zoom fatigue. So I appreciate that question. It's been really hard and professionally. And then, personally, but also very rewarding because, after 30-something years of living in Sydney, we decided to move to Newcastle, I think in the second lockdown, which was a high-risk maneuver.
Definitely.
especially in hindsight. But high reward as well.
Yeah.
So, we'd been thinking about for a long time, Kate, my wife and I have been thinking about what does the next 10 years look like for us. We'd been in we lived on the Northern Beaches in Sydney. We'd been there for 7 years, raised both our kids there.
Yep.
We thought, do we want to stay here for another 10 years, kids start school? One of the things that we really were missing was a sense of community.
Mm.
And we weren't really active in terms of riding our bikes to school or to the beach. And that was kind of affecting us. So we thought, Kate asked me, she said, why are we paying a premium to live in Sydney if you don't have to commute to North Sydney anymore? That stumped me. And I thought that is a really good question. And I couldn't answer it. And so we thought, let's take a holiday up at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been here since, I think, the earthquake, which was a very long time ago. So I had no idea what to expect. We stayed on the beach. And I was just blown away. I was so impressed. People walking, riding bikes, the investment in the public infrastructure, what's happening at the foreshore. I read about smart cities. And I thought, man, this place is pretty cool.
Mm.
And so then we, on the drive home, spoke to our mortgage broker. We listed our house within a week. We'd moved out of it into my parents' house. And we decided to just go all in and make the move. And I give a lot of credit to my wife for that because I thought, there's some nice houses that we like, but there's no rush.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, these houses don't come up very often. There was one in particular we liked.
Yeah. Yep.
So she said, we got to jump on it. I didn't like it at first and she still pays me out about that. It's the one that we live in now. But we just decided to go all in and it was extremely stressful because, with COVID, we didn't know what was going to happen. Would the lockdown get stricter and people couldn't come and view the house?
Mm.
We'd bought before we sold. So we made that classic, I guess you could say, mistake.
Yeah.
I think
it's a risk.
Yeah. It's a learning.
Yeah.
It's a learning.
Yeah.
So it turned out well, but I'm under no illusions that it was very risky.
Yeah. Definitely a hectic move.
Yeah.
Yep. And I guess the motivator you've already to an extent touched upon. I guess what made it happen now rather than in a year's time when theoretically we're a bit more settled and have a bit more economic certainty.
Yeah.
What was the push?
It's a good question. I still ask myself that regularly because I don't think there's one answer.
Okay.
I think we'd been thinking for a long time about what does the next sort of 10 years look like for us? Are we going to stay in Sydney? Are we going to go? My immediate family were in Sydney. Kate grew up in Port Stephens. So it kind of made sense to be somewhat halfway between the two. The kids were starting school. So we thought, there's time pressure there. And I think the age of the business as well, almost 5 years in. Three years ago, it was a baby. And it needed all the attention that a baby needs and really hard as well, hard.
Yeah.
So I don't think we would have done it then. But then we thought, if not now, then when?
Mm.
And we actually struggled to answer that. So we thought, let's do it. Let's bite the bullet and do it. If we don't do it, we won't know. And fortunately, it turned out okay.
Yeah. Well, for now. Yeah, so far.
Yeah. Thanks for that vote of confidence. Yeah.
You'll be fine. as far as options available, I mean, it kind of sounds like Nui was the option.
Yeah.
But did you do any sort of market research? Well, if you want to use that term, as far as different options, as far as cities and that sort of thing, or was it just Nui or bust?
It was Nui or bust. Yeah. In hindsight, perhaps I should have done some more research. But no, I mean, yeah, we had a good understanding of what our criteria were, why we wanted to move. And it's just one of those things, you know, like we weren't, even 6 months ago, we weren't thinking of moving. No way. And then we came up here and then all the boxes were ticked. And then it was a question of, well, why not?
Yeah.
I'd kind of always toyed with the idea of moving to the country. And I don't think I could really put my finger on why. But now after we've moved here, I think it was responding to the busyness of Sydney, right? Like it's a busy place. And just being in that environment, being around the traffic all the time, I'm a knowledge worker. I like peace and quiet. And I think it was affecting me, but I couldn't articulate it.
Yes.
And then when we spent some time in Nui and we spoke to people, and I think it's a less frantic pace and people are happy to have a chat with you. I just thought it feels good. And this is, it feels like a good place to raise our kids. If we're more relaxed, you know, they're going to benefit as well. And because work's stressful, right? So you know, running a small business is stressful. So I want to try and be in as a positive and relaxed environment as possible. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really interesting. The lifestyle change has been huge. I mean, I knew it would be, but we're riding my son to school, riding to the beach for a swim in the morning, and just meeting people and being happy. They're just happy to have a chat. And it sounds funny, but I don't know, Sydney.
Oh, it doesn't happen in Sydney.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, right? If you approach someone, like if you're waiting for a traffic light to go green or whatever, like a pedestrian light, and you said hey to someone, you would get looked at like a leper in all seriousness.
Yeah. So why are you talking to me? What do you want from me? Mm. Whereas here, it's like, good morning, how are you? It's lovely. So I think that's been really positive, and that was a driver as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Anything you miss about Sydney so far? Appreciably, it's only been like 2 months, if that, but.
No.
That's a big call.
Yeah, it is. It is a big call. And that might change because everything's still new, right? So we're probably in the honeymoon period.
Yep.
But I think I would say I'm the happiest I've been for a couple of years.
Excellent.
My business partner, Mark, he made that comment this week, actually. So I haven't seen you so happy for a long time. And there's probably lots of variables involved in that, you know, where the business is at coming out of the back of COVID, but also being surrounded by positivity in terms of the environment, seeing the kids happy, seeing Kate happy. I think it all feeds into it. So there's nothing at the moment that I'm missing. I mean, I'd see my immediate family less, but you know what's interesting is people are more willing to come and stay with us now. So the quality of the time is actually better than in the past. It was like, come over for 2 hours, big rush. You know, kids, it's a freaking nightmare. So you spend more time corralling the kids than you do actually having a social connection. That really used to affect me because I love the one-on-one, have a chat, how are you? We just couldn't do it. No. So that's a huge positive that I never really had considered. So there is nothing that I'm missing about Sydney at the moment.
For sure. So, I mean, you've been, I guess, a participant in the Newcastle tech community for about this long.
Yeah.
At this point, you've got the most marginal of exposure to it.
Yes.
What's your experience has been with respect to the tech community, or I guess the innovation community, if you want to use that word?
Yeah. Well, really positive so far. I mean, people are willing to talk to me, which is great.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily true in Sydney.
Mm.
I would hate to speculate why that is, but you might be able to draw that out of me. But people are willing to have a chat with me and are genuinely interested in, you know, yeah, the story coming from Sydney, and I'm genuinely interested to learn about the community here, learning about I2N and Hunter IF and Oz Industry, like being able to speak with Tim and just have a chat. Now, I really struggle to do that in Sydney. It's just not I guess there's just so many people or businesses vying for that same attention, just not the same. I've attended a webinar, one of the I2N webinars. So I'm getting a really strong vibe already. I'm really looking forward to being able to catch up with people face to face.
For sure.
Which hopefully we can very soon. So initial impressions are, yeah, really positive.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. And I guess I was going to sort of ask, how does it compare to the Sydney scene? You've already to an extent touched upon it in that people are just willing to have a chat and be cordial,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
But I assume you had decent exposure to the Sydney tech community in some way, shape or form. What sort of differences can you draw aside from the one we've already sort of touched upon?
Yeah, I think there's something about size, right? Like, so just the number of people means that there's more groups, or the groups that there are bigger.
Mm.
And so I think they can get watered down in terms of what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
There's more people vying for attention. The loudest voices are the ones that dominate. And that's not me. So I actually kind of, in a way, steer clear of it. And I sort of focus more on sort of business, like-minded business owners and leaders in smaller groups. So, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, if that carries over here. But I think, and it, perhaps, yeah, it's like if there's more time or just a more willingness to connect on that level, rather than being this frantic, like busy, no time for that, unless there's a really strong benefit that they can see in it for themselves.
That's the point I was going to touch upon. Right. I was going to kind of put words in your mouth, so sorry. But Sydney, my experience is very transactional.
Yeah.
It's very much there has to be a mutual benefit or don't talk to me.
100%. I would agree with that.
Which is not super nice.
It's not. It's not. It's not a good feeling. And I don't think it needs to be like that. And in my experience, you know, people do business with people, and it's pretty obvious if someone is just trying to get something out of it for themselves.
Yep.
So let's be honest about that. And but I think it's a reflection as well in the just the environment there, you know, like it is busier. And I'm a sample size of one, right? So this is my experience, but I do think it impacts things when you're busy, when you have a long commute, you're tired,
yeah,
you've got a lot of pressure, you've got stress, you've got a big mortgage. That all has to contribute in some negative way for sure. And I think the challenge sometimes is that you don't realize you're in it until you're out of it and you think, wow, like that's not healthy.
And it's not to explicitly be negative about Sydney and the community exists, because Sydney's great. Like, Sydney's a really nice place, but there's a certain pace associated with Sydney that I don't think is conducive to mental health, realistically. Mm. If you have compounding effects such as running a small business, COVID, having kids, it can all become a bit much.
Mm.
And I think Newcastle, appreciably, it's a side effect of the population. It's a side effect of sort of the community that we have built up. But it's a bit slower, it's a bit nicer, it's just a bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that's the impression that I get, and I hope that stays true. And the other big thing is, right, it's like I rode here today on my bike. I did not do that in Sydney. I mean, you like fear for your life. I used to ride to work, and you would fear for your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw plenty of people get hit by cars, you know, and it's just not a nice environment. And here, it's just less traffic, and that's really enjoyable. So, you know, it means that when I come, like I arrive here today and I'm just in a good headspace.
Mm.
I'm not stressed. I don't have all this adrenaline pumping through my veins because I nearly got hit by a car. So I'm interested to see if that holds true and if that's, you know, the way that the business is done here because of the environment. I think it's a really positive reflection on where we live.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we've been really relentlessly positive about Newcastle and the experience you've had so far. I don't want to pretend that it's all roses, because I don't think any place is. Every place has its drawbacks in some way, shape or form. Yeah, Newcastle in general, Newcastle's tech community, et cetera. Is there anything that you've found is maybe lacking, or is there anything you're missing from Sydney that you'd maybe like to see a bit more of here?
Mm. Well, it is early days, so that's a big caveat for me. What I hope to see is, yeah, the connection between, I guess, startups and then scale-ups and then businesses are a bit further along.
Mm.
And I think that labels can sort of cause trouble sometimes. It's like, I don't even know what a scale-up is, if we are one or not.
Yeah.
So instead, it's kind of like, well, matching businesses with each other based on where they want to go and what stage they're at. You know, for a more mature business whose sort of growth phase is perhaps plateauing out a bit, and they're willing to share those experiences with the companies coming behind, is awesome. Because the startup's requirements are different, in my experience. You know, where we are now is very different to where we were 2, 3, 4 years ago, and the help and mentorship that we needed. So kind of matching businesses and business owners in that way, I think, is really powerful. Because I've always got the most value from business owners who are, say, 5 or 10 years ahead of where we are, because it's quite close, and those experiences they share are directly applicable often. So, yeah, in Sydney, I was part of the Entrepreneurs Organisation, which is like a collection of business owners, and you would meet once a month in small groups of like 6 to 8 and share your personal and professional experience in the last month. And there's always someone who was on a real high, has won a big deal, and someone on a real low. Maybe they're going through a divorce, or they've got some legal situation. And it was, you know, from the perspective of normalizing the business journey, and made me appreciate that that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And because I always thought when we were a startup, it would be so good when we're at 5 people, and then when we're at 10 people, you know, things will be easier. That is incorrect. It is not easier.
No.
It is harder in different ways. And so, you know, just that learning. And also, the thing I liked about EO was they have this mantra, share experience rather than advice. And I don't know if you've experienced this in your career, but like when we were starting out as a startup, everybody had an opinion about what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and most of the time unsolicited.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get on a little bit a couple of years later, it just disappears. It's not there anymore. And it's like, okay. So that's not very helpful. As a startup founder, opinions aren't very helpful. Experience shares are. Oh, this is for me.
Yep.
And so I keep looking for that, and I always try and find mentors as well who are, you know, a bit further ahead, who can just critique my thinking. Have you thought about X, Y, Z? Give me the reasons why you followed that path, made that decision. Because we're still making decisions for the first time.
Of course.
So having that help, having that experience share is really helpful. So I hope that something like that exists. Maybe you can tell me whether it does or not.
I guess to some extent, you've got the existing meetups and that sort of thing. You have the more traditional business, I don't know if you even call them meetups, clubs, luncheons, I don't know. I don't know what terminology they use. I'm firmly not part of that crowd.
Yeah.
But that sort of stuff exists, I'd say, within Newcastle business in general.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much for, I guess, tech organizations. And I don't know if you specifically class yourself as a technical organization as opposed to a learning organization. But, you know, being a high-tech sort of a high-tech product or high-tech service at its core, I don't think there's a purely sort of high-tech scale-up meetup. Huntreef is probably the closest. To some extent, it's not, you know, it's not purely targeting business owners. It's just people with interest in the innovation economy. But that's probably the closest you'd get.
Okay. Because I think there's value as well in being in a safe space, right? Where you know that what you say doesn't leave the walls, but you've also built a really strong personal relationship with the people who are there. And that's one of the things I've always struggled with meetups, because it's like, yeah, they're typically more people and you don't know what everyone else's agenda is. And I'm a bit of an introvert as well, so I prefer one-on-one to large group stuff. It's 100%. Just not my vibe. So I've always gravitated towards that smaller group, but over a longer period kind of thing, where you can really go deep and get the shares and so on.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess, again, appreciably, fairly new experience moving here and everything. Is there any advice you'd give to people currently living in Sydney? I don't want to pick on Sydney. We'll say Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra, Brizzy, whatever, that are maybe looking to get out of the capital cities, get out of the hustle and bustle. You know, Nui is a pretty obvious option if you're looking as far as second cities, being the second city of New South Wales. But look, we'll apply the same formula to Townsville, that sort of stuff, you know, the second cities of each state. Is there any advice you give to people looking to consider that move, maybe in that sort of research phase, or maybe just, you know, really considering it for the first time off the back of this conversation?
Just do it.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I think I'll share my experience really thinking through what's important and thinking through, okay, next 10 years, what does that look like for us? If you have kids and the kids are 10 years older, they're at school, do you want to be driving down to pick them up? Would you like them to be walking? Would you like to ride a bike with them? They're some of the questions that we asked ourselves. How far do we want to travel for family? Mm-hmm. How often do we want to meet up? If we're away from where our friends are, how much of a concern is that for us? Or is it actually upside because when they come and visit and they actually stay with us overnight and it's quality time? So thinking through questions like that, we took a holiday in the area where we were thinking about. I think that's really good. And if you're a knowledge worker and you can work remotely, work there for a week or two. Like, what's the vibe like? And I would try and go out of sight of school holidays because I don't think that's necessarily realistic.
Yes.
Especially in COVID where there's potentially more people traveling locally than there ordinarily would be.
Mm.
So, yeah, like what are people in the cafes like? Can you get around on foot? So, for us, we're trying to stay to one car. So, what does that mean? What does that look like? I need to be able to pick the kids up by bike. We actually bought a three-wheel electric bike from a Nui company.
Sweet.
Called Tribe Bikes. It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the kids love riding in that. And speaking with people who have done the same thing. So we've had some friends who have done it, people in my business network who have done it. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where everyone was so positive about it that we thought that it was a G-up. Because no one had anything negative to say about Nui. They're just like, you have to do it.
We're very culty.
Very. Nui. Yeah. So that was probably the one downside. We're thinking well, there's something that we're missing.
Where's the catch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we haven't found it yet. Not to say it's not there. But
that happens after 12 months. That's when you learn.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll hold you to that.
That's probably not a bad idea, doing like a 12-month sort of retrospective episode in the future where we'll just go, hey, you've been here for a year. Is it still good?
For sure. One of the things, I mean, I'm really big on decision making. I'm always trying to level up my decision making. One of the things I do is write down before I make a decision my hoped for outcome,
mm-hmm.
my assumptions. So I've done that for this move and then I'll revisit it in 6 or 12 months.
Awesome.
And so we will see but all those assumptions that I was mistaken about, but hopefully for good reason rather than poor.
I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be sweet.
Thanks, Liam.
Okay, so I guess sort of wrapping up, where can people find stuff about you? Where can people find stuff about Yano? Yeah, any sort of stuff you want to plug?
Yeah, check out our website. Yano.com.au. Pretty active on LinkedIn, so just find me there. I'm always happy to connect with new people. And yeah, I mean, I'm really looking to network with business owners, I guess, who are that next stage ahead of us. So sort of, you know, 5 to 20 mil revenue, on online businesses or not, I don't really mind, but just to have an experience share.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm super open to that.
Sweet. Righto, mate. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Community Spotlight. If you want to learn a bit more about what we do, by all means, check us out on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, pretty much any of them. Hope you enjoy it.